You know, I think it would be kind of weird at this point if for some reason I could see you while we're doing this. Because like all the fuck way up, you up until, like literally all the way up until this point, I had thought to myself, I was like, well, you know, if I had, like, if I got to look at him, then I feel like I would have, like, more, I don't know, I'd, for lack of a better term, be more involved in the conversation.
heaven forbid we find a way to get you more involved.
Right. But now, just thinking about it here in this one second, it just dawned on me. I'm like, I don't know, that'd be kind of strange. I'd be staring like into the eyes of an individual who would not actually be there. It's more me looking at a display. Me looking at you is me looking at the camera like this. Me looking at you in my mind would be me over here looking this way.
Change all your reactions. Like, it'd be like, wait, why is he making that face? Like, if you can see my faces. That's hysterical. That would be interesting, though. It would be interesting.
Time to get your fix. It's a horrible gaming podcast. It's not good. It's not great. Horrible gaming podcast. It's not even what you would call fair. It's really not that good. Horrible Gaming Podcast.
Hello, my name is Zachariah with Old Man Gaming. You, dear listener, have chosen, for whatever reason, to listen to another Horrible Gaming Podcast. But I am not alone. Usually I am never alone. With me is
Neil, a.k.a. A Tiny Wizard.
You know, I've had to train myself. Like, I point at your face every time I say that. I've had to train myself to do it near twice.
This is just another layer. Another layer of why it would be so strange if I could see your face.
Yeah, every time I, like, point at your face, but I had to train myself because I was always point the wrong way first because it's mirrored. So I have to point the opposite direction of you to do it right. All right. So we're going to do a show today. Guys, gals, if you're expecting us to talk about Starfield, which I kind of understand you would be, this podcast is going to come out on Tuesday and Wednesday, the day it releases, but we are not purchasing early access because it's an insane price, and the people who have purchased it, like, I don't understand them.
The idea of paying an extra $20 to $30 ahead of
time. It's $40. It's $40.
$40. It's to play a game like
five days early.
Not even a full week early is just asinine.
Well, and so, like, no. Look, I paid for early access on Remnant, okay? But it was a $10 upsale on a game that I was not going to get for free and would have had to purchase anyway. You know what I mean? Not for free, mm-hmm. but like not part of a subscription service. I get access to Starfield via the Game Pass subscription service, and there are people on Game Pass paying $40 to play this game early, and I know what their defense is going to be. Well, you get the first DLC for free. Yeah, but you're not paying for that. That's not why you're spending the $40. Okay, that might be why you justify it to friends and family, but you're paying it to play it early, which is fucking insane to me. Just wait 3 days. It's coming to you. It's coming. You've already paid for it. Just wait. Just wait. So, yep. As you can see, neither one of us have done that. So we cannot speak to Starfield. I am excited to have this conversation. We really debated whether we were going to talk about the reviews of Starfield just on their own and then do another Starfield show next week. We decided we don't want to do two Starfield shows in a row. So we're going to do, after we've both gotten a chance to play it, and everything. We'll be behind the times, as is always the way with us. We'll talk about Starfield next week, both the reviews and the game and what our thoughts on it, and the whole nine yards. So this week, we've just got a fun topic we're going to discuss. So if you're expecting Starfield, stop.
Wait a week.
It's not happening. It's not happening today. It's happening next week. But before we get into any of it, we've got to thank the people who have made this possible. Behind Our Ugly Mugs is a fancy custom graphic that is provided by Mr. Mark Bell. We thank him for that. And, of course, the theme song for this show and all of the shows here at Old Man Gaming is provided by the man who makes the music, my brother Nick Van Sliders. We thank him for that. We'll be right back with Fan Interaction.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
All right, that brings us to our first segment, ladies and gentlemen, our most important segment, that is Fanteraction. That's where we, the co-hosts, talk to you guys, the fans. We read out all your comments and all the places we remember to see them. And we just, we discuss them, we riff on them. So let's get into it. First and foremost, we start with Jason. I really, really, really like how Valheim does food. You don't have to eat to live. Food gives you increased max health or stamina buff. So you kind of need to eat to fight, but you ain't gonna die from starvation. I should check in on Valheim sometime and see how it's going. I've been too busy culting in Cult of the Lamb, though, and also Xenomorph in Dead by Daylight. I found out there's a poop follower form, so I started a new cult, Order of Feces, with everyone as poop form, except the first ones, but they'll die off soon enough. I know how puerile that is, but I don't give a shit. Well, you give a lot of shits because you have poop everywhere, apparently. Cult of the Lamb always looks interesting to me.
I was about to say. Yeah. That was a game that very much, like, when it came out, was interesting to me. And then I saw something during Gamescom that they're doing a Don't Starve and Cult of the Lamb crossover.
Yeah, it looked like it.
So I think that'd be pretty interesting.
Yeah, Cult of the Lamb is one that I'm probably going to get around to at some point. But it's just too many things in my rotation right now to get it. I think when that comes to sale or it comes to Game Pass, I'll jump in, you know?
Yeah.
Asylum 66 is next. Yay! Dark Tide is coming. Started losing hope there for a moment. Coming so soon. Can I lay down Texas Chainsaw Massacre for it now? I think so. I think Texas Chainsaw Massacre's meta is getting really fucked up, and I think you're going to have to lay it down soon so that you could give them time to fix that stuff, because the more you play it, the more we're realizing, oh, this has some balancing issues. Some serious balancing issues.
Well, there's nothing worse than finding out something is broken and then having it be such a long period of time before something's done about it.
Well, and the thing is it's not a broken game. It's just the meta of it has things that are askew. And whenever you have a lives of service multiplayer game like that, you're going to get into situations like that, especially with the way they're doing it. I think they've innovated in this game in a lot of ways in the asymmetrical space, just by giving killers stamina bars, making their three of them and forcing them to teamwork as well. I think they've also innovated in the space of just like, the way you play a victim is much more interesting in that than it ever was in Dead by Daylight. That being said, you have so many working parts comparatively. In Dead by Daylight, you have one killer, four players. They have to start generators and get out a door. Killer has to find them, kill them, put them on hooks. Period. You know what I mean? Like, that's the game. It's simple. It's straightforward. It's direct. Texas Chainsaw Massacre adds so many layers that you get this kind of like, oh, there's too many layers to kind of keep track of, and the devil is in the details in those kind of games. And I think that Texas Chainsaw Massacre is still good. I think it's really good for new players. It's still like, if you jump into that first time and you're not a high level, it's going to be a lot of fun for you. I think, though, they still need work on that balancing, and I think they have a greater challenge because of all of the details that they have in it, which are all great details that I think really innovate, but at the same, with that innovation comes a level of, okay, how do we make this, like, when you release it into the world at whole and they figure out, you release it to people who are just there to figure out how to most efficiently break it. What I mean? I think the guy I'm playing with, I actually play with Asylum 66. I play Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And one of the things he pointed out, he's like, why is everybody rushing to ruin this game? And that's the way it is. It's like, the game would be really fun if you just played it the way the game is supposed to be played. But you have people in there who are like, oh, if I do this, I will win every time. Or if I do this, I will get this many points every time. And then you have this like, You have tomfoolery and fuckbaggery, basically, that needs to slowly get worked out by the developers, which is a tricky business, especially when you've added all the things you've added, you know?
Yeah, there's actually back in the day, whenever there's a map in Halo 3 that kind of got carried along to other Halo games, the Pit. And if you played team doubles on the Pit, if there's a like a center control room that you could go in, basically what the teams would do is just go straight into that center control room, and it's a win button because you can hide in there, see out, but nobody can see in, so you always get a leg up. So eventually what would end up happening is whoever got in there first wins the game. So after a while, the developers heard enough bitching about it and actually closed that room off in team doubles.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's the kind of thing that you just need to figure out, you know? And I think they will. I just think they need time, you know? And yeah, especially for Asylum 66, who plays this probably three times the amount I play it. So, like, I'm right now level 15 in the game, so I'm attracting other level 15 players. He is level 40-something, so he's attracting level 40-something players. And those players are the players who are like, oh, if I take Leatherface and I make all of his savagery the best and I memorize the basement, I am going to absolutely wreck every motherfucker in there, you know? Or you have the people who, like, who just, like, the victim side, they know that the fuse box is the easiest way to get out, so they just rush the fuse box. And the entire game becomes this insane dance of, like, how do we protect the fuse box? Where it kind of takes a little bit of the fun out of it when you have, yeah, like, real tryhards, like, trying to get out. So, but yeah. Next up, we got Jason. I don't really listen to what they claim of games. So when I played Cyberpunk 2077, I went in mostly blind and wasn't disappointed. I'm going to get Phantom Liberty at some point. That's great. Good for you, man. But we have a job here. We cover games. Literally, it's our one and only thing is to listen to what people say about video games and talk about it on the YouTubes. Like, that's what we do here. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that is great that you can do that. I cannot do that. I cannot afford to do that. So on a podcast, I literally have to listen to what they say about it. And it's going to make me mad when they lie to us. It just is. Like, I'm very glad that you enjoy this game, but it doesn't change the fact that they lied to us about it, what it was. And they never made good about that lie, and that purchasing it just contributes to them being allowed to lie to people. I mean, again, no judgment, no fault there, but, like, you can't be upset that the people who are doing video game, what accounts for video game journalism is listening to what video game people say.
Lots of air quotes there.
Yeah, lots of air quotes. But still, that's what this podcast is. It's arguably what this channel is. Like, we gotta listen to what people say. That's what we have to do. He then posed the live action commercial for the original Zelda. He posted a link to a YouTube. I urge everybody to go check it out. I remember this when I was a kid. It's basically this dude in a turtleneck black skin suit, and it's the original Zelda, and he was pretending to be the different monsters in it. He would yell, like, Octorox, and then he'd do, like, interpretive dance of what an Octorok looks like. It's the craziest shit. It's the craziest shit. But again, that's when you had those live-action trailers, because showing a bit stuff is not as entertaining in a trailer, you know?
Yeah, what was it? A commercial and a trailer are definitely different with that. I know, like, some of them have been kind of, like, dumb. Like, the one Tears of the Kingdom trailer that they had that was just, like, a middle-aged man going throughout his day and smiling while playing the game. Like, yeah, that was the whole commercial. Yeah. I'm like, okay, all right. I'm glad he's happy.
Right. It's very interesting. Nintendo still kind of subscribes to that, where it's like, oh, we're not going to show the game. We're going to show people playing the game and how much fun they're having. Like, how out of touch with gaming are you that anybody would want to watch an old man walking down the street playing this and get excited for it? Like, I don't know. I'm not getting excited. Show me the game, goddammit.
Right.
But this is the company that basically is the reason that video games are still thought of as toys, you know? So, moving on. Jason, game trailer only needs two things, gameplay and release date, no less, no more. Jason, we sometimes argue. We sometimes disagree. This is one thing we are of one mind on. That is the two things that a game trailer needs, period, finite. Gameplay, release date, period. Don't show me any other fucking thing. I don't want a weird CG trailer. I don't want a live action trailer. I don't want a, hey, we're in development with this. None of that shit. Don't show it to me till you got gameplay and you've got an idea of when it's fucking coming out. Period. Period.
And don't give me a cover of a song that already exists as well. That personal gripe. Personal gripe. they did, this is years ago, for one of the Dead Space games, I think it was Dead Space 2 or 3, they did a trailer for the game that was like half CG, half live action, but they had a cool-ass cover of In the Air Tonight, and I couldn't find it anywhere, no matter how hard I looked. So, that personal gripe. Personal gripe.
Professional wrestling does that sometimes. They'll do their like own remix of song that they got rights to, and then like I go to listen to it and I'm like, I can't find it anywhere. There's this wrestler in Impact Wrestling named Eric Young. He comes out to this like remix of God's Gonna Cut You Down by Johnny Cash. And it's a really cool remix. I love it. I wanna listen to it. It's a remix of a remix. So the original remix is like this 1 minute, like kind of techno-y guy did it, and it's all right, but it's not as good as the remix that they use for the entrance. I want that remix. I can't find that remix anywhere. Like, yeah. I understand that pain. And then finally, Asylum 66, one more time. Can't wait for Souls Frame. I think it's Soul Frame, dude. I don't think it's Souls Frame. I think you're pulling a me with my Games Pass. I think you're putting an S in there that shouldn't be in there. I'm not sure. But Soul Frame, or Souls Frame,
hope... It's Soul Frame.
It's Soul Frame. Okay, all right. Gotcha, Asylum. Gotcha. You're always giggling me for Games Pass. You did
Games
it.
Pass, lives
right
service.
Back at you. Right back at you. Hope they keep up with the defining live service. And I could not agree more with you, Asylum. I think if there is one shining example of Games as Service... as live service as a game is, it is Warframe. It is Digital Extremes and Warframe. They have somehow managed to make that game awesome and relevant for what, 10 odd years now? I cannot wait to see another mainline entry and see what they do with this, because Warframe is nearly a perfect game as service game. So I'm very excited to see what Souls Frame will be starting in 2023, you know, like it's just and I really hope that they dive into stuff that would pull more people like you in, the narrative people. I'm hoping that's what they do this next time, because I think if any company could do that, I think they could. I think personally, because I'm pretty sure this will be free to play, I think maybe I'm gonna force you to play it with me on a stream or something. I don't know.
I'm always willing to at least give a game a shot.
Yeah.
But that said, it's got about an hour.
Don't listen to him, guys. He's always willing to play a game. Giving them a shot, that's a different story for Neil. He sometimes gets those preconceived notions.
Right.
He'll play
right.
it, and he'll just shit on it the whole time because he decided it was bad before he went into it.
You're actually right. Yeah, no, I will play any game for an hour. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I take back my original statement.
Neil, I appreciate your honesty. I really do. All right, well, that is it for Fan Traction, ladies and gentlemen. Like I said, you comment below, and we will read it out on the next episode. So what's our talking point today? Well, We decided to have a little fun with it and maybe have a shorter show. Good God, the last episode was like almost
Every
2 hours.
Every single time you say that, you speak
I'm
it
praying.
Into
I
existence.
I got fingers crossed. Our topic probably won't be that long. We really want to kind of examine, you know, the single A and even double A companies kind of leveraging older styles of making games to make the games bigger and more in depth. And we'll get into it in a second, and we'll be right back with that after this.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
That brings us to our talking point, ladies and gentlemen. Something I have found very interesting for a while that I really want to discuss with Neil here, and that is, I think it's very interesting that you have games coming out now that are absolutely, like, they're hitting all of the things you ever wanted in a game kind of category, but they're doing it by leveraging lower graphics, 8-bit styles, like small, like simpler things, in order to leave room for just these massive open world things. This idea kind of came to me, A, because of Dave the Diver, but B, because of this game coming out that's been announced. I urge everybody to go check out a trailer, maybe I'll post one in the Discord, called Mirthwood, where this game, it's the same thing. It's a top-down, it's kind of like little hand-drawn sprites, but it's very, it's like hand-drawn, but it's a very like simplistic like animation style, but like you can literally do anything in it. Get married, start a farm, go questing, fight goblins, become a rogue, become a bandit, open a store, you know, the whole nine yards. It's there, at least if we're to believe this, the trailer for it. And I think that, like, personally, I think that we're in this interesting world, and I am a big guy who's just like, I don't care what the graphics are. I want you to give me a world to play in that's fully functional, right? So, like, I don't need the Starfield graphics. I don't need the Hogwarts Legacy graphics. I just need the game to be really fun and in-depth. And I think there's a lot of single-A developers who are like, yeah, yeah, okay, we can do this now. We can take smaller 8-bit sprites, 16-bit sprites, hand-drawn sprites, and we can make these sprawling, huge, in-depth kind of plays without necessarily breaking the bank on, A, your computer, and B, their own amount of money, you know, to make it. Your turn to talk.
I didn't know if there was more to it. I felt like there was more to that. That's going to be a great few seconds of dead.
Yeah, that's going to be good. Like, that's we're putting the horrible in a horrible gaming podcast right there.
Yeah, so
I'm not going to edit it. If I do edit it, I'm just going to make it longer.
Intentionally put it in there.
They just stare at each other for 30 straight seconds.
That's another thing that would be so awkward if I could see you in this. I'd just be sitting here staring dead-faced while you're staring theoretically at me.
Right, right, right.
So, so yeah, with that sort of style of game, I think it's... It lends itself more to an air of creativity like a vision. Like, I feel like a game like that, there's more love and care behind it because the developers can like thoroughly, you know, write a story and tell that story the way they want to. And it can come across without, you know, any sort of like crazy ass graphics. I feel like the crazy ass graphics and everything, I mean, they've definitely got their place, but they're not necessarily needed absolutely everywhere.
Let me ask you a question. Not to interrupt, but I do want to ask you a question right off that. So take two types of games. So you have a really graphically cool fucking game, but it's very linear, very movie-like, right? Mm-hmm. But it's very graphically, aesthetically pleasing, right? Okay. Or you could have the same game, but you could do anything in the world. It's not linear. You can create your own character. You can influence the world in any way. But graphically, it's not even close to what this is. Like, this one's aesthetically pleasing, like movie graphics. This one's like 8-bit top-down nothing graphics. But you could do anything in it. Which one would you pick? And no wrong answer. I'm just curious.
So I think that answer really comes down to, like, first what I'm in the mood for, but like more broadly what everyone else is kind of looking for. Like,
okay,
I can take a game like Uncharted 4.
Okay.
And that game's never going to change.
No.
Like, it's beat for beat. It is a movie. Mm-hmm. You might, you know, come at a situation a little bit differently, but outside of that, nothing's ever going to change. Nothing's ever going to be different. Or you can have something, because I'm never going to miss an opportunity to talk about this, like Undertale.
Yeah.
That has that specific art style. And after all, there's technically three different ways to play the game, the same game. And of course, you know, there's other games that do that even more.
Right.
That like open up that even more. I mean, they're both narrative games, but at the same time, like, I feel like the story that you want told to you and the story that you want to tell or be a part of really just like dictates what it is that you are going to do when you choose those games in the end. I mean, I myself, as we know, am a very narrative driven, you know, person.
Yeah.
But let's say we take.
But you played like Skyrim. Skyrim's not narrative, and you love Skyrim. Right.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. That's the thing. And I was just about to say, take like Starfield or Skyrim.
Right.
You know, you cut the graphics way down on that, but you let me go anywhere I want. If you can put that scope up for that game, like by four, by having, let's say, Nintendo 64 style graphics potentially.
Right.
Like, all other things being equal, there's a place for both of those games in my heart.
That's fair. I think a little bit of a cop out, but that's fair. I'm not going to give you shit for it. I think there is something to be said about that. I think that, like, personally, 8 times out of 10, I'm picking the lower graphic do anything game. You know, some of my favorite games, my absolute favorite games, like Wildermyth, like, it's this kind of thing where it's they leveraged very low-key, easily interchangeable kind of sprites and graphics, hand-drawn, but sprites and graphics, to leverage something that I don't think you could do in a graphically heavy game.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Just because of the way they dictate the procedural generation, in that it's so fast and responsive. I think if you were doing that in a graphical, like, masterpiece, it would get real messy real fast. If you could give me Cyberpunk, but Cyberpunk's just like a top-down 8-bit game with no bugs, it's a whole different story at that point. Especially since, like, one of your favorite games, another one, Stardew Valley. Now, Stardew Valley is very curated, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, everything is very written by the guy who did it. But at the same time, it kind of does the same thing. It's a very involved, in-depth play, and it does things that I don't necessarily think graphically aesthetic games could do on the level that it does, because it's that, you know, lower graphic thing. I think Kinseed's another one. That I've got a shout out, and then there was another one I wanted to talk about. Oh, this one, much less well known by anybody out there, but a game called Jedonia. It's on Steam. It's a real small game. The graphics are real old school, like PlayStation 2 era graphics, made by one guy. And I will say it's got its bugs. It's a little bit clunky at times, but like, you can just do anything in that game. And there's so many stories and stuff to interact with and play with. I love that freedom in games. And I think that is, especially now, like, we're talking about, like, the potential crash. We're constantly talking about the potential crash of the AAA gaming. And there's a ton of stories coming out now. One of my odds, I guess I'll bust it out right now. One of my odds is, The writer's strike is about to be extended to video games.
Aw, oh, boo!
I'm not gonna boo them. They should be.
No, boo, you stole one of my,
Oh, it was one of yours, too? Oh, yeah. Shit. Well, it took care of two odds. Maybe we will have a short odd. Yeah. Short one. Yeah, but it's been extended to video games. The performers, and because, hey, video game developers are not in a union, but the performers and the writers that they use for those games are. So, yeah. Like, those people are going to go on strike against video game companies, and goddamn, they should. Video game companies treat their people way worse than anybody else. I think that, like, and while I believe that that strike is mostly about, like, AI generation and protection from AI generation, which I don't want to get political, but I think it's going to be very hard to win that, personally, because how are you going to stop somebody from using an AI to generate something? You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, like, if they want to generate something, they're going to generate something. Like, I don't know how you stop somebody. But still, that's a whole other argument for another day. Still, you've got these strikes coming. That's going to hurt the AAA development. You already have a lot of AAA, like, misses and washes. We've already talked a lot about how most of the really big wins this year were AA companies, not necessarily AAA companies. I think that this is more indicative of that. I love the fact that, like, there are people out there who are looking at Unreal 5 and going, yeah, that's all pretty and stuff, but I could use that with sprites over here, and just the possibilities are infinite, you know?
Yeah, and then you look at something that tries to walk the line of both things.
Okay.
Something like Baldur's Gate 3.
Okay.
Wants to be both. And it does a very good job of that.
Baldur's Gate is amazing, yeah.
That also said, it took how long to make? Like,
I would argue that Baldur's Gate 3 is graphically very aesthetically pleasing from everything I've saw. Like, they are very graphically, like, put together.
Oh, it's up there. That's my point, is they are very well graphically put together, and it's a very open,
yeah,
free range.
Yeah.
You can do damn near anything, yeah, in that game.
Yeah.
Like, to the point that, like, you can break things. Like,
yeah,
quite,
yeah,
literally.
It's really,
oh,
cool.
You need a key to unlock a door. No, I break the door down.
I break it.
Like, that,
yeah,
that's literally what you can do in the game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and something like that took forever to make. And Larian did an excellent job with doing that. I mean, I haven't even played the game, but from what I have seen of it, it's amazing.
Well,
so there are games that can toe the line, but they are few and far between and very in-depth. But I don't think the two things are mutually exclusive.
Well, and here's a question, because I know what side I sit on the answer to this. Do you think that Larian would have needed to take this much time if it didn't look as good as it did, while still doing the same amount of stuff? Because personally, I don't think they would have. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not throwing any shade towards Baldur's Gate 3. Their accomplishments have been amazing this year. And if they're not on every game of the year list, at the very least, it's a travesty. Just from the fact that they've spit in the face of AAA gaming with a smile, and it's made me so happy. That being said, if that game was not graphically aesthetically pleasing, or like, I'm not saying not aesthetically pleasing, because I think 16-bit and 18-bit still look good,
yeah,
in its own way, but if it was like that, not like a graphic superhound, would it have taken as long? And I don't think it would have.
No.
You know?
There is no way that it would have taken as long if they didn't do that. But they had a vision, and they did, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
They did an excellent job.
Oh, they did an excellent job.
They did.
Yes.
But yeah, no, absolutely. They could have, if they wanted to, they could have made it like completely like isometric and didn't do any like face-to-face cutscenes. They could have just done the old school chat bubble down at the bottom of the screen.
And would it have been the same amount of popularity? Personally, I'm inclined to think yes. I mean,
yeah.
Maybe not 5 years ago. maybe not 5 years ago, but like you look at like runaway hits like Dave the Diver. Like Dave the Diver was all anybody talked about for like a whole fucking month. And that game is just sprite after sprite after sprite. You know, I think there are plenty of games that hit that like level of like, holy shit, this is amazing, without ever being graphically pleasing. And I think Baldur's Gate, the freedom that they have in that game is really the centerpiece, much less the graphics. Although I will say the fucking would not be as fun to watch, but sure. but graphically, I think they could have done just as much without it. Again, not throwing shade to Baldur's Gate. I think it's an amazing game. I think their accomplishments graphically is fucking phenomenal considering they're a AA studio and they've just basically pissed all over AAA, and I think that's amazing. So I'm not throwing shade their way. I'm just trying to make a point that for me, I don't give a shit. I don't care if the characters look like Minecraft characters. I don't care. If you can give me the experience that I want, if it plays the way I want, if it feels the way I want, and it's super open, like, I don't care what it looks like at the end of the day. And I think that that is becoming a more popular way to look at things, honestly, than just like I'm becoming less the outlier with that and more, yeah, everybody wants that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, actually, since you brought it up, like, Minecraft is an excellent example. Minecraft is, hey, go do the thing forever. Right. Like, there's no real point or goal necessarily in Minecraft. It's just like, hey, hang out, build some stuff, do some things, do it with friends, you know?
Right.
That's the name of the game, and that's what that game is built off of. Mm-hmm. It doesn't need to have, like, you know, top tier, even though Technically it has ray tracing now, but that's a different thing. But like, it doesn't need to have like top tier graphics. Steve doesn't need to look like a like human ass human being.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. You've got a lot of stuff out there that's very successful that isn't top tier graphics. And it's interesting because, you know, I'm looking at right now purchasing a new graphics card sometime in the near future. Probably going to move to a 6800 at some point. Right now that's $484. Probably next year that'll come down a little bit. That'll probably be the best time to buy, and that'll future-proof me for a while, you know? Mm-hmm. That being said, will I need to buy another one? You know what I mean? You look at the AAA gaming market and what that space has become and the problems that they keep running into. And then you think to yourself, like, okay, well, my most favorite games, those things are playable on... But I don't even need the graphics card I have for those games, you know? So, like, I also watched my 7-year-old and how obsessed she is with Roblox. That's, like, the only game she plays is Roblox.
That's another one.
And Roblox, look... Roblox has a lot of stuff wrong with it. I'm not going to say it doesn't. There's plenty of weird, evil shit on Roblox. But Roblox literally is its own engine that you can create any game on. There are any game on there that you can think of that you want to play is on Roblox if you're okay with playing with crappy graphics. And that's something I realized just messing around with her, that I was like, oh, if I go down the Roblox hole, I might never come out. Because they've got every type of role-playing game, every type of anything, and you just play it in there. Doesn't matter if it's licensed or whatever, because it's a Roblox original creation, whatever, you know? I mean, Nintendo's sending cease and desist, but other than that, like, it's... And that's not graphically pleasing. That's not, and they make... they're a fucking empire onto themselves, you know? So, I don't know. I'm just in this weird spot where... It's one of the reasons I always recommend PC to people, because I'm like, you know, everybody's like, well, how often do you have to upgrade? And I'm like, look, man, you buy a PC now, you might never have to upgrade. The way the market's going, like the best games aren't graphically aesthetic games. They just aren't anymore. I mean, there are plenty of good ones, but like, if you were to buy a PC today, like a fleshed out, fully PC, like a $14.99 PC, right? you'd probably be good for like the next like 10 years at the way, at the rate they're going. I feel like they're almost moving backwards.
Well, you actually kind of touched on something there too. You know, the fact that graphics are kind of hitting a critical mass to some degree.
Yeah, that we've talked about that before too.
That now it's to the point, it's not even just with consoles, you know, it's with computers now too. Mm-hmm. The big thing is like ray tracing.
Yeah.
That's the big thing now that eats up stuff. And I'll be honest, if I'm just sitting there watching a side-by-side gameplay of something, one with ray tracing turned on and one with it turned off, I can notice a difference. But when I'm playing the game,
right,
I'm not sitting here staring at a puddle on the ground.
Right.
You know, I'm playing the game. It's passive. It doesn't matter to me. You know, having a grainy texture here and there when you get your characters, like the camera, right up on something, it doesn't matter.
Well, and half the players, at least on PC, turn the graphics down to get FPS up anyway.
And that's the thing. It's like it's frame rate now, too, that's the big thing. So, I mean, we are going to be getting to a critical mass. I think that's also part of the reason why, like, the newer graphics cards, like the 40 series cards, you know, we had the 30 series come out about 2 or 3 years ago. And, you know, we've had refreshes of those. And we all know how that went.
Yeah.
Myself especially, having way overpaid for my graphics card. Now the 40 series cards, they're not moving. Yeah. They're like cutting different tiers of them. Like there used to be 3 tiers on the NVIDIA side. There's only like 2 now. And
things have got way cheaper too. I've been looking at like Micro Center deals, and I was surprised. I can buy a pre-made version of my computer for less than I paid to build it in the first place. You know?
Yeah, the same amount of money that I paid for my graphics card. This really pissed me off the other day. I can get the 3070 ROG Strix card that I initially wanted to get for the same exact amount of money.
Yep. Yeah, everything's come way down. And I think you're right. I think that is indicative of the fact that, like, we have hit that critical mass. And you talk about frame rate. We've definitely hit the critical mass on frame rate. We're at, what, 144 is the top out right now?
Basically,
you can't
yeah.
see more frames than that, guys. It's better than the human eye at this point. Like, there's nothing better than, like, 120. I think you and I can at least agree on that. I know we've disagreed on what matters to our eye, but at 120... there's no effect to you. You can't tell the difference between 120 and higher, you know?
120 is, like, if I could play every game on 120, cool.
Right.
144, like we were talking there, that's basically, like, the refresh rate of a lot of common monitors now.
Because
that's the sweet spot.
Yeah.
I hear tell of people playing, like, Counter-Strike Go who are getting, you know, 240 frames and they're just living their best lives, like, oh, it's so great, so much better. Like, I can't
tell. No way. I think that, like, you also have, like, what was I gonna say? Oh, and on the ray tracing thing, it's the same thing. Like, yeah, if you put a side-by-side comparison in an in-depth breakdown of what the two things do, you could definitely see a difference. But when you're playing a game and you're just running through it, there's no way that matters to you. You know? So we're hitting this critical mass on graphics. We're like, I don't know. I like the idea that we definitely have this, like, older tech that's just being leveraged to be more interesting. You know? I don't know. I think we've sucked this one dry. You want to hit news?
Sure.
All right, we'll be right back with news, ladies and gentlemen.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
That brings us to our last segment, ladies and gentlemen, the news. We collect headlines, different news stories, stuff we want to tell you about, stuff we want to tell each other about, stuff we want to riff on, and we just let you know here in this segment. I have 5 news stories. Neil has 2. So I guess I'm starting this off. I'm going to try and avoid the one that I think I would steal from Neil, since he's only got 2. So I'm going to go ahead and start with a bummer one for me. Suikoden 1 and 2 Remaster has been delayed until 2024. The people behind it citing that they want to make it as good as humanly possible, and as pretty as humanly possible, and they need more time to do that. This was a weird one. I think this was announced at a Nintendo Direct or something like that. I got really excited about it.
I think, yeah.
I love the Suikoden's. They were probably one of the only JRPG series that I really like jumped all in on, and this excited me because 1 and 2 were the ones I played the most. So that's a little bit of a bummer for me. Don't like to see delays, but we've heard nothing on that front until now. So it just makes me very nervous about them being released at all. Like maybe they realized there wasn't a groundswell for it or something. But I still have fingers crossed that we see it. I just wish we had gotten a new date, you know, instead of just next year sometime, you know.
Yeah, the broad window of sometime later in the future never bodes well for something like that. I almost wonder if they came across like a very catastrophic bug or something.
Right, right. My next one, I guess I'll go with another one since you've only got two. This one is a weird one. I don't know how to feel about this one, but during this weird like side festival that I'm not familiar with called The Mix or whatever, there was a bunch of games announced, smaller indie games. One of them was G.I. Joe Wrath of Cobra, and it is slated for the first quarter of next year, and it is a side-scrolling beat-em-up, as the side-scrolling 2D beat-em-up continues to be prevalent.
I was going to say, it's like a renaissance at this point.
Yeah, I have some concerns about this, though. I have some concerns. I saw the preview. It looks interesting. I think it could be cool. My biggest problem with some of these is some of them are kind of resting on laurels now. You've got, like River City Girls really innovated. TMNT Shredder's Revenge, I would also say, kind of innovated. Same as Streets of Rage 4. They really brought that kind of genre back into the modern era a little bit. Whereas I feel like G.I. Joe Wrath of Cobra is just kind of like doing the same thing again. And we're starting to get these where it's like, oh, everybody likes those now, so let's just make one and throw it out the door. And this is what kind of killed that genre in the first place. Like, it's 2023. You can't just release a 2D brawler from 20 years ago and hope it and hope everybody loves it. You have to put some new love to it. You have to innovate. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think some of that is the problem with why Double Dragon Gaiden is not doing super good right now. And critically, it was not loved or widely received. Still a game I'd like to play, but again, I think that it's one of those that like suffered from, let's just do a thing, you know? I really hope that this is good. I'll definitely give it a try if I can, and see how good it is. But yeah, 2D Brawler Renaissance continues. I still, other than Towerborn, which I'm very excited for, I haven't seen that like true innovation in the genre that I'm waiting for. I'm hoping Towerborn is it. River City Girls was it to start, but I want to see even more of that, you know?
Yeah, I feel like that's one, like you mentioned, that has been very much coming back, but it's very samey, and I feel like, especially with the TMNT and now G.I. Joe, it's really making me wonder if it's all been just like, hey, we're putting a movie out, or hey, you know, there's going to be something going on. Like, I know, I'm sure G.I. Joe is going to be a thing here in the future because, I guess, spoilers for a movie that I haven't even seen yet, but somebody else ruined it for me. At the end of the most recent Transformers, there's a tease of a G.I. Joe crossover.
Okay.
Which is very interesting.
Insane.
Insane. But, like, that's the thing. It's one of those things to where it's like, it feels cash grabby.
Yeah. I think that's one of my big problems is sometimes, as much as I love single A and double A, every once in a while you start getting these like bigger companies that are like, oh, this single A game, let's just throw these kind of things at you. And because they're big, you know what I mean? Like, you'll get games that are like, oh, it's a bullet hells. They like to do that with bullet hells. Like, bring me something new. Bring something new to the table. With G.I. Joe, one thing I did like about the trailer was there looked to be some, like, interesting ranged combat in it, which I think could be something really different for the 2D beat-em-up kind of feel. And same with, like if they were to create Golden Axe today, like, recreate a Golden Axe, I would want it to be like, okay, we're going to do questing and have it be a little bit more open world, you know? Do something, like, innovate the genre a little bit. You know, bring it into that. Just like what we were saying, like, you have the ability to make a simple game really big and in depth while still keeping the simple fun parts of it. Let's do that, you know?
Absolutely.
All right, so I only have three left, so why don't you hit us with one of yours?
Yay! So, one of them. So, apparently, there was a job listing for the upcoming Horizon multiplayer game. Revealed something that's a little refreshing. Apparently that game will not be focused on Aloy, but will begin to tell other stories within the Horizon universe. With
this is the multiplayer one?
Characters. Yes. Yeah. So, great.
Yeah.
We can make our own warrior in one of the different clans that exist. I would love that.
Yes.
That is what I feel like. If you're going to keep churning out these Horizon games, which is what it seems like Guerrilla's going to do at this point, at least do a little something else with it. Change things up. Make the mainline Horizon releases, you know, 6 or 7 years apart and sprinkle in the little extra zhuzh every now and again.
I think... To double down on that, I think there's one surefire way to avoid franchise fatigue if you want to continue to build a franchise fatigue. I'm sorry, build franchise. And that is by focusing on the world of the franchise instead of necessarily the main story and plot. I think that's one of the biggest problems that Halo falls into. With the overall games that you've played, even the ones that you're not playing Master Chief, are heavily impacted by Master Chief and have direct implications in the Master Chief storyline, right? Like let's look at the non Master Chief outings was Reach and ODST, right? That's it. Everything else is Master Chief. Those games,
well, I would argue Reach can kind of be attributed to Master Chief.
But no, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Like, you don't play directly Master Chief, but
it's still like,
yeah, you got to the point before I got there. Like, they're directly in the shadow of the main story, right? Yeah. Like, even ODST, you're literally following in his footsteps in a lot of areas. Reach, definitely 100%. I think that, like, while some of the really interesting successful ones like Halo Wars, you know what I mean? Do some stuff like that in the Halo world, you know, make some different like potential, like let me create a character in the Halo world. Let me do something else, you know, especially with their open world outing. And I think an open world Halo game would be really cool if you're not playing Master Chief. You know what I mean? If you're playing a character that you could just run around a world with, that would be awesome.
Or even do something to where you are on the journey with Chief. Something like that.
I would say even like just get Chief out of it. You could even do something like Darktide, like the Warhammer Darktide of Vermintide, where if you wanted to do on the multiplayer thing, have them do procedurally generated runs of 4-player squad-based stuff against something, you know? There's a lot of things you can do in that world that they don't. With Aloy and Horizon, you want to avoid that franchise fatigue. Let us make our own characters. Don't put us anywhere near Aloy. Let us create our own story in that very, very interesting world. I think it's a good idea. Overall, I think Guerrilla is pushing it with the amount of Horizon games they're releasing in general.
They're doing exactly the same thing that they did
with Killzone.
with Killzone.
Yep.
Same exact thing. They said, oh shit, this is good. More, 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 more. And then it just got to the point that it was just cranking out. Like I said it before, I'll say it again. I loved Horizon. Forbidden West was good. It was more of the same. They are definitely showing signs of going off the rails and that they're going to be drilling this thing into the ground. And I really hope when we get the announcement for 3, it's not more of that.
I hope so too. I think that they've created this really rich and interesting world. Let's not kill it. Let's not beat it into the ground. I think Aloy is a really cool, interesting main heroine, but that doesn't mean we can't do other games in that universe without necessarily having anything to do with her, because it's a rich, open world, kind of like an Elder Scrolls. Like, you could do a lot of stuff with that. I think the multiplayer aspect interests me. Like, is it going to be always multiplayer? Are we talking like a 4-player Monster Hunter co-op thing? I really want more information on the multiplayer aspect. You know, like, what kind of multiplayer is this, you know?
It very well could... It could do well as a Monster Hunter style game. Because I mean, that's effectively what it is.
I hope so.
For the most part.
I really hope it's not an MMO-ass MMO. Like, I mean, and even if it's an MMO, like, just please make it more like a Division or something like that, where it's not just, like, people, everybody running around and talking to the same guys, you know? Like, I hope they do something a little bit more. Like, don't do Elder Scrolls Online, basically, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Is your second one have to do with our favorite hedgehog?
No.
Really? Okay, well then I'm not going to steal it, so I'm going to go ahead and say it. In an interview with the creative director currently in charge of Sonic, he was asked further, because you had talked about the whole... We had talked about the 3D stuff that's not pixel art. He was asked about it because a lot of people were complaining that Sonic Superstars is not pixel art. And he basically said he thinks pixel art is done for Sonic, that we will still get 2D entries, but that Sonic can no longer support pixel art, that we're going to a different... we're kind of going to a different plane, and that to do pixel art would be kind of going backwards, I guess. I think this is stupid.
It is stupid.
I'm sure you'll agree with me on that. Yes. There's very few times we're of one mind. I don't mind 3D-esque 2D graphics. I really don't. The Sonic team routinely does a terrible job at it, in my opinion. Sonic always looks wonky and weird when he's like a 3D and a 2D plane. He always looks fucking weird. He looks better in 3D as 3D, than when they do that. I don't know. I think the pixel art style kind of fits Sonic a little bit better. And if you're going to do a 2D aesthetic, I don't know why you don't do that. I mean, honestly, I think it would be interesting if all the like environments were 3D maybe, but Sonic and remained pixel art.
You beat me to what I was going to say.
Okay. All right. Sorry.
And I feel like there is a reason for that. Because these models that they have for 3D do not work very well when you're looking at going fast.
Right.
Which is why Sonic going fast in Sonic the Hedgehog 4, which is the second time I've invoked it in the past 2 weeks, which is god awful and I hate it. Him going fast is him just going slow but looking like he's going fast.
Right.
Because those models can't keep up. Do the 3D, because that weird 3D like HD pixel art thing has worked very well with something like Octopath Traveler. I think there's been other games that have done it too. Make the environments be the 3D that you want them to, and make Sonic do be like that pixel art style still. Right. I think it'll work just fine. I don't think anybody's going to give a shit. You get best of both worlds there. Because those models, it's articulating a model in a 3D space that's a 3D model, trying to make it go fast and make it not be a blur.
Right.
Whereas the pixel art, it's just the same running animation, but sliding around and spinning.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's where the disconnect is. And the fact that he's like, yeah, no, that's not a thing.
Yeah.
We're done. We're done with doing that. Yeah, it's donezo. It's history. Like, that's one of the dumbest things that they can do.
Well, and you get into trouble with the fan base. You know what I mean? Like, the fans are where your money is. You want them to be buying the game. They're not going to want to buy a game if it doesn't look the way they want it to look, you know? And this isn't like it's not tested, you know? You've got Sonic Mania. It was extremely popular, sold extremely well. I don't understand why this is the outlook for them. But that being said, I have two left. You have one left, correct?
Yes.
Well, I will just do my two, and then you can finish this off then.
Okay.
So this one's weird. I urge everybody to look this up, but this is a thing coming out for from Lenovo, and it's the craziest ass futuristic shit I've ever seen. They cost like $329, but they are glasses that you put on your face. You Bluetooth connect them to your Steam Deck or your phone or your Nintendo Switch. And the glasses project the image from the portable into this big, giant screen in front of you that doesn't actually exist. Yeah, it projects it in front of you from the glasses. So it doesn't exist. Nobody else can see it, but you can see it as if there's a big screen just floating in front of you. They're called Lenovo Legion glasses. They're $329, and it's like Star Trek shit. Like, whenever I look at it, it's like straight up cyberpunk stuff. But it projects this like picture of them in front of you, so that it makes your screen bigger, but you don't actually use up any space because it's just a floating image in your glasses.
Huh.
Are you seeing them?
Yeah.
Crazy, right? I saw it on IGN and I was like, I just want to tell people about that. I think it's crazy. Like, would I pay $329 for a floating image of a handheld? No. We all know I don't spend money like that. But, like, I just think it's interesting. It's a fucking weird cyberpunk things.
1080p, 60 hertz?
Yep. Yeah.
That's not bad at all.
No, it's cool. It's really, really, the price isn't too bad when you think about it as a TV. You know what I mean? Like, if you thought about it as a TV that you put on your face, and honestly, I would consider spending the money for it if I could connect it to anything like a TV. Like, if I could connect it to, like, a computer, or if I could connect it to, like, even my phone for YouTube, like, but I think you can only use it for gaming. Nonetheless, some crazy-ass shit, right?
Well, I'm sure if it exists and can be attached to an Android device, at least,
there's
a way to make it do other things.
Right, which is really cool. Like, it's basically a big screen TV on your face. I think that's kind of cool. And then finally, this one's really interesting. The saga of Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2 continues. We have followed it now for some time. But as for, there's a couple of games always come out at PAX, or PAX West, I think, is going on right now, or South by Southwest. I don't remember. It's one of those.
Something.
It's usually like a comic thing, but they do some gaming stuff there. That's where the Mirthwood trailer came from. But, funny enough, Bloodlines 2 was there. Now, just to recap, Bloodlines 2 was announced. People got excited for it. It got a date. People pre-ordered it. Nobody talked about it. Got delayed. Everybody got their pre-order back, but we got pictures of what the new game was going to be, which is insane. Now they have announced that it has a new developer, The Chinese Room, which has made other games. I did not know which ones, popular ones. And that there will be a gameplay reveal in January 2024, and that the game itself will be releasing in fall 2024. So it is back on track with this new developer, and will be coming out next year.
That is absolute insanity. There's so much news with this. I'm trying to find out when it was initially announced.
Oh, I know.
And there's been like multiple, it's like, well, there's this day, and then it was like relaunched this day, and then it's been like re-announced yet again. It's just like, I don't.
It's the new Skull and Bones. Did you see, completely side, did you see the IGN preview of Skull and Bones? They got to play the beta.
I started watching it before work one day, and then I ended up having so I didn't see it all.
They loved it. 5 minutes of nothing but nice things to say from them. I was like, oh my god. I can't believe IGN is like, yeah! Which, again, I may or may not have gotten into certain betas. I may or may not have played it. And I enjoyed what I played. The things that I didn't like about it, well, we'll talk about them one day. But I enjoyed it. I am looking forward to it. I don't think it should be premiumly priced. I think it should be a free-to-play. I've said that multiple times. But that being said, I liked what it was. But I was surprised that IGN isn't lambasting it.
Well, since we're talking about games that have been announced and are never coming out, I'll just go into my last one here.
Yeah.
Todd Howard, of course, is making the rounds because Starfield's on
Starfield.
Its way.
Starfield.
In an interview with GQ, he said that he's expecting Elder Scrolls 6 to come out sometime in 2028. Wow. And he has some regrets about the announcement of Elder Scrolls 6.
Does he? Since it'll have been, what, almost 20 years since he fucking announced the goddamn thing?
So, Elder Scrolls 6 was announced at the same time of the confirmation of Starfield being in development.
Right.
Because initially there were lots of rumors for a multitude of years leading up to...
And Fallout 76. That was also the one where that was announced. Yeah, I remember it very clearly.
Oh my god. I don't get it. I mean, I don't get it. Bethesda's...
Especially from a company that is notorious about not telling anybody about their games until they just finally come out, you know?
Yeah, I remember when Fallout 4 got announced.
Yeah, it was like...
Fallout 4 was like, hey, guess the fuck what? There's a new one coming out, and it's coming out in like 3 months. Here you go, guys.
They did the same thing with 76, even though 76 was a butt-fucking psychopath game. But, like, it was still the same thing. It was like 4 months, it's out. You know, that's why everybody saw Starfield and the Elder Scrolls at that show and be like, this is gonna come out! And then it went in. No, they're not gonna come out. They're not gonna come out anytime soon. I mean, I guess Starfield's finally going to come out soon, but who knows? Still shocked at IGN.
There's still time for a last-minute delay.
I don't know. I mean, they got early access players now who have purchased the game. I think if they were like, we're going to delay it, this would be a little bit rough for them. I will say I was surprised that IGN went so hard on Starfield. That actually shocked me. Especially considering all the independents that I watch that are usually way harder on things, like loved
it. I was going to say, I meant to tell you, I did watch that other reviewer, AAG something.
ACG. ACG is amazing. I urge everybody out there to go check out ACG. His reviews are the most honest ones. He does not keep the copies of the games that he gets. He gives them away after he's done with the review. Because... he doesn't want anybody to say he got anything free out of it. So he literally, once he's done with the review, he gives them away. He's completely independent. And he is usually much more honest. He also doesn't do scores. I hate scored reviews. He doesn't do scores. Legacy is a little bit... I do this with Legacy with my hand, the back and forth. Like, I don't hate Legacy, but I feel like Legacy is always going to be happy about a game that other people... are going to be happy about, you know? They're never going to be like... they're never going to roast something that is universally hyped. You know what I mean? But you get a different opinion from them, which is what I like. But I was really surprised because ACG loved that game. And then IGN was like, 7. I was like, really?
Yeah, I was IGN?
IGN is usually the people who are like, this game's great. And then ACG is like, don't buy this game. This is terrible. Like, I remember the Marvel Midnight Suns. They both did reviews, and IGN gave it something like an 8 out of 10. They loved it. And they were like, this is true to form, one of the best like strategy games out there. And ACG was like, this game is terrible. Don't get this game. You know, and I think that like that's one of the things I like about him. So that's one of the reasons I wanted to talk about the reviews today, was just because it was like the widespread of the reviews were not what I was expecting. I was expecting IGN to suck its dick all the way to the bank. Mm-hmm. Without a doubt. I thought 9 or a 10 was just a given. And then I thought ACG would destroy it, and I thought Legacy would be happy with it, but point out some things. And then I watched them all, and I'm like, this is not what I was expecting to get out of it, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I do have some high hopes for it. I just... The hoops that we've had to jump through to get it is frustrating to me.
The thing that makes me nervous is there's one thing that's been pretty universal across reviews that I've heard, and it's just something I just don't have the time to deal with anymore, is the it gets good eventually.
Across
the board, that's that everybody's saying. Well, like, I don't have 5 hours to dump into a game before it gets good.
We've gone off the rails on our news segment, but that's something I was talking to a friend about, because I'm like, I have to do a Snap Judgment review on it. There's no way I can't. Those are, like, I've talked too much shit not to. There's no way this game is going to get a good review from me, because it doesn't get good for the first 5 hours. So there's no possible way that I'm going to be able to play this and be like, this is a good game, you should get it, even if it gets good. So I'm going to literally have to disclaimer and be like, just so that everybody remembers, this is Snap Judgment. So, you know what I mean? Like, it's just the way, by virtue of the way I do my reviews, mm-hmm. I don't think I can give this thing a good review, at least from what I've seen. I'm very interested to see it. I mean, if it runs on my computer, I kind of want to do a stream just called Zachariah versus Starfield for the first time I play it. We'll have to see if I can pull that off. But let's do the plugs and be done. What do you say?
Sounds good.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
That brings us to the end of the show, ladies and gentlemen. The shameless self-promotion that comes with it. Neil, what do you want to plug?
Well, we doing that Redfall Down.
Double-barreled flare gun.
It's still going. Still going strong. That's about all I can say about it. Honestly, that's
I don't know if strong really is the word I'd use.
The strong is the will that we have to continue.
I don't know if I have strong will to continue. I think I'm hanging on by a thread, man.
If I remember correctly, it will be the next episode, yes. Is the one where we are going, yes, to be leading into the absolute, yes, stupidest thing, stupidest that I have thing ever encountered in gaming.
It gets so bad.
Yeah, so get ready for that.
It's so frustrating because they made this game specifically for multiplayer, then put so many walls on playing it multiplayer that it's just, you know, I said it last week, this game never ceases to get worse. And that's what blows my mind. I've never seen a game innovate with such crap in my entire life. The next show, this Saturday, will be the show where it just, like, the episode is called Zach Carries the Team. You will see why Zach carries the team for all the stupidity that it invoked when we play. And just so you know, if you watch Double Barrel Flare Gun, I'm sorry for that last 11 minutes. We were just as confused as you were. We figure it out. We figure it out, and that's why the next episode is what it is, because we figured it out, and it was dumb. That's why we couldn't do it. What blew my mind about it was they don't even have, like, a warning sign or anything to let you know that was the problem, so we just sat there trying to fucking figure it out. That game is just so bad. And Pete Hines says it's going to be good in 10 years, so look out for that.
Oh, yes, that's, yeah, that. I'm surprised we didn't even touch on that in the newsy stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised we didn't, because I posted it to the thing. I think we just didn't want to talk about, Redfall anymore. Yeah, supposedly yeah, Pete Hines went on and said, we don't give up on games, it's going to be good in the next 10 years. No, 10 years.
That's how long it's going to take to rebuild that pile of shit in something resembling a shiny
turtle. Well, you have to have a team on it rebuilding that it. The too, last time I checked, they moved the whole fucking Arcane team to something else. So who's working on it, Pete? Fucking asshole. Fucking Pete. We'll, so as far as I'm concerned, I do want to thank everybody who turned out for Stella's stream. With Ninja Turtles, we got 23 views. We had a lot of people saying hi. It literally made Stella's day to participate in it. Unfortunately, my review of the survival mode is not that great. That will have already released once this posts. You could check that out on Monday. I don't like doing negative reviews, but I felt like you guys all saw me playing it. I had to talk about it. So you can check that out. We also have on the TTRPG side, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, our once a month session that I have so much fun playing. That's this Thursday. We are adding a third player, Jackie Rakes, a completely new player. She's actually kind of green in the space of RPGing too, so it's going to be really fun. Her sparrow named Ruby enters the fray. Can't wait for that. So please come check that out, 9:30. Tuesday night. Other than that, not really much else to say. We've got the same amount of stuff. We're trudging along to the season finale of OMGM, which I'm very excited about. Prelude's probably coming back next week, and we have me streaming Remnant, if you guys want to check that out during the day. You guys can also contact us on Facebook at OmegaGamingDH, on Twitter at OmegaGaming9. You can join our Discord. Links in the description below. Influences and all of our shows from there. As long as you keep watching, as long as you keep listening, we'll keep making them. We'll see you guys next time. Pause.
Yeah, I actually just preloaded last night, so it's ready to go.
So I haven't preloaded yet because of the games that I have to like decide what's not going to be on my hard drive. Like I'm almost there, but I need one more big game to go off my hard drive. Hogwarts Legacy needs an SSD to kind of play it. I think, I don't think that thing could run off of spinning. Like I'm willing to try it, but at this particular time it's on my SSD. So I don't want to get rid of it. I'm not currently playing it, but I play it with Melissa for Prelude. So, I'm hoping tomorrow me and her get a chance to record another 6 episodes on it. Then I'll take it off and put Starfield on and see what happens, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, the only other game big enough to give me the space is Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And I'm actually playing that very heavily with my friends right now. So, like, I don't want to remove that. And I don't know if that would work on a spinning either. Like, it's not high graphics or anything. I just don't know with the multiplayer if it'd really work on a spinning or not. So just I must say right now, no matter what, the specs of Starfield are absolute lunacy to me. They're absolute lunacy, and I think they're unneeded, because this game's locked at 30 frames per second. It's locked at 30 frames per second, and I need 140 gigs and a required SSD drive for this, like, and a 5700 graphics card. Like, I feel that's
the
insane.
The graphics card,
you know,
is what throws me off.
Because
mine, yours and mine, mine's, I think, technically a smidge older than yours.
I don't know.
It's either older or the same.
Because you're a 4090, right? You're on the NVIDIA, right?
I'm running a 2060.
What?
Yeah, I'm running a 2060.
An AMD 2060?
No, my graphics card.
Is it NVIDIA or NVIDIA. AMD, man? Oh, yeah, it's NVIDIA. I thought you meant like a 2060, like AMD. I'm like, what? That how are you playing anything at that point?
No, yeah. No.
Because you corrected me on NVIDIA, and I was like, wait, whoa, what?
It's a 2060. So our graphics cards came out either at the same time, or mine similar. Might be just a smidge older, but mine can run it.
Mine,
according to specs.
My specs, the spec says, so here's the tricky thing. My specs, I have an AMD Sapphire 5600 XT, okay? Mm-hmm. I don't know what that counts for XT, because then their requirements is an AMD 5700X. So I don't know if the XT is going to make a big difference. You know? Like, maybe I can. I don't know.
So it's going to be close because... Yeah. Yeah, the XT is ramped up close to, like, the standard versions of the next step up.
Yeah.
It's going to be really close. I mean, worst comes to worst, you got to kick it down into, like, potato mode to some degree.
Well, and I think it'll work okay if I dumb down some of the, like, graphic settings, I feel like. Especially with it locked at 30 frames per second. Like, if this was trying to run at 60, I feel like I'd be no in way. Serious yeah, trouble. You're screwed. But, like... It's locked at 30. I can't imagine that I can't turn it down. But just the fact that this game requires that just blows my mind. Like, I almost feel like they have some sort of weird deal with AMD. Well, I mean, they do have a deal with AMD. But it's like a stealth part of that deal that they would put that they require these insane specs. Because I don't feel like this game... Like, there is nothing on the market that even remotely comes close to blowing my fucking hard drive out of the water like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
At the very least, the highest fucking game out there, I'm still like 200 above it. You know what I mean? Like, right. Except for Starfield for some reason. This is the first game ever that I've seen that I'm like, it's even in the minimum, I'm somehow below. So I don't know. We'll see. All right. Well, let's get into fan traction.